Aye. That's a hard act to follow, I have to tell you. That was an impressive program. I'm going to talk about physical activity and organized after-school program, but before I do that, I'd like to acknowledge one of my colleagues also in the audience, and that's Dr. Jeff Hallam from the University of Mississippi, who helped tremendously with this project. First, just a quick review of school day physical activity. I'm sure we've all heard numerous times as a reminder this week that the recommendation is that children should get a minimum of 60 minutes of physical activity a day up to several hours. The Institute of Medicine has also recommended that half of that physical activity should come during the school day. The expectation is not that children or adults get all their physical activity through one opportunity. And just as a reminder, the school day opportunities begin with how a child gets to and from school, but then also there's physical education, recess, and classroom integration. And just as a reminder, classroom integration is integrating physical activity into academic lessons, as well as into the routines and transitions throughout the classroom. But we wanted to look at another school-related physical activity opportunity, and that's after school. Approximately 6.5 million children are enrolled in an after-school program, and some have estimated that only recess and physical education account for more opportunity for school-related physical activity. What makes it such a significant opportunity is that traditional barriers to physical activity are removed. The kids are there. We don't have to worry about transportation. There's not an additional fee. The time, they're there. So these are pretty significant barriers to physical activity, and those are removed. As well as that there is the presence of activity facilitators. The peers are there. There's equipment. There's facilities. As well as there's adult supervision. And then lastly, as an introduction, there have been a handful of studies to look at physical activity in after-school programs, and when we look at after-school, we tend to talk about four activities. That's snack, which you can imagine is a pretty important activity, homework, enrichment, and recreation. And physical activity falls into that recreation part of the schedule. There are two studies that I wanted to highlight. The first is by Coleman, and she and her colleagues estimated that children spend about 40% of their time in active recreation, which in their study was 47 minutes. What was interesting is that those children were more likely to be involved in higher intensity activities when it was free play, as opposed to an organized activity. And in the second study, they found the similar finding that when children were kind of left on their own to play, the intensities were higher. But what was so different about the second study is you can see that the activity levels were quite different. In the first study, about 42% of the time kids were active, and in the second study, they were sedentary 67% of the time. So we were, based upon kind of the review of those handfuls of studies, researchers have described after-school programs as heterogeneous, meaning that they serve different kids and what's happening in those programs are very different as well. So we wanted to look at a large after-school program and describe the fitness levels and physical activity levels of kids enrolled in such a program and explore some of the potential influencers that were happening in those after-school hours. Just a brief overview of our sample. It was also a convenience sample. We were working with a large single provider organization. It's a membership organization. They had 27 after-school sites, which represented 10 school districts at that time. It's primarily elementary school or early childhood students. For their population, the average age was about 8 years old. It is a geographic, like Southwest, it's a large geographic area, so there's various academic performing schools as well as other variables. We did then choose 8 after-school sites. It was a convenience sample. The organization tried to select sites that represented the larger whole, but you know, that was really, they had requested that they got to select the sites, which is a limitation that I'll talk about later. Okay. The first part was the fitness testing and the physical activity levels, which we call phase one. We followed the YMCA protocol for testing body mass index. We did the 1 mile walk run for cardiovascular fitness. We did sit-ups and sit and reach. And then we did a physical activity questionnaire, the previous day physical activity recall, which asks students to estimate their physical activity in 15-minute time blocks. We were only interested in the after-school time, so we just, you know, condensed it down to those 3 or 4 hours the 3 hours that the child was there. I should also note, again, working with the organization and trying to have them as involved as they would have liked to have been, the leaders did the fitness testing as well as they administered the questionnaire. And then we did the qualitative part of our study and exploring those variables. We did semi-structured focus groups, 6 to 8 participants. We developed a semi-structured interview guide with the organization about themes that they would be interested in, and with the idea of, you know, that an intervention would be following this. And we explored themes. We tried to explore themes of favorite activities, physical activity levels, a typical day, and then cues that they were receiving for physical activity. We also did a leader focus group, but with time, and I won't talk too much about that. Okay, so the results. Their fitness levels, there was about 40 males and 50 females that completed the fitness testing. 672 seconds, that's about 11 minutes. So it took the kids about 11 minutes to do the 1 mile walk run. Based upon the values for the protocol, they were in the 40th percentile. And just as a reminder, also here, higher is better. So they scored in about the lower third for their cardiorespiratory endurance. They scored lowest in their muscular endurance and their flexibility, but their BMIs were in the about the 70th to the 87th percentile. We wanted to look a little bit more at their BMIs, and again, these aren't percentages, these are actual numbers in here, but it works out to about 56% of the kids had a healthy BMI, whereas, I have to look at my cheat sheet, about 23% were considered overweight and 21% were obese. We then, again, asked about their physical activity levels, and to the right were the definitions for the instrument and the terms that they use. Light is sitting, slow breathing, little or no body movement. It's the equivalent of sedentary in those previous studies. In a 180-minute time block, you can see that the average number of minutes spent in light activity was 158. I heard a sigh. That's what we did as well. And then, you know, really low levels of higher intensity activities. Just, again, we were curious. So we plotted them out by sites. And you can see that we highlighted that in 2 sites, the kids spent the entire time in light or sedentary activities. And then in other 2 groups, they were slightly more active than those completely sedentary groups. Overall, 70% of the participants reported light activity 100% of the time in an after-school program. We also wanted to explore the relationship between their BMI and their activity levels. We did find a moderate correlation between their BMI and their time spent in light activity. We expected it to be higher, but, you know, in reflection, we believe that, you know, just there was such little variability in that activity level that influenced the correlation. And I already said that in the bottom. For the qualitative part of the study, again, we did focus groups with the kids in 4 groups. We did a content analysis looking at frequency, extensiveness, and specificity. Frequency being the number of times that things were mentioned. Extensiveness was like how many people in that group. So frequency would be like, I could say I love basketball 10 times, but extensiveness would be everyone in the group said they loved basketball. And then specificity, paying more attention to comments where there was more detail, there was a more emotion. The 3 kind of activities that really came up a lot were playing cards, just in all groups and in great extensiveness. I have another slide as to what cards we were talking about, not bridge or euchre or anything like that. But then also swimming. We did do this testing in May, and that was mentioned quite a bit in 3 of the 4 groups, as well as going to the park. That bullet should be out a little bit. Yu-Gi-Oh cards, Pokemon cards. Did you know? Yeah, you guessed that. But that's... That is a Yu-Gi-Oh card. But you can see some of the activities that were reported: playing game, card games, video games, television, arts and crafts, dependent upon the group, and then some of the other higher intensity activities. Oh, okay, I'll speed it up. Activity cues and modeling, we were, you know, asking them about cues or, you know, who they were doing activities with. The activities were all over the board, but they were quite animated and quite specific, and you can see some of those. But the theme that really emerged, again, we were trying to explore four themes. No matter what questions we asked within those four themes, the theme that did evolve was the social context, which I think someone mentioned earlier, that no matter what kids were talking about, they were talking about who they were doing it with, a dog, a grandparent, a friend, a neighbor, someone else in the group. And, I mean, it was just all over the themes of the focus groups. Starting to wrap up, the discussion is overall these children had, despite being in a significant opportunity for physical activity, they had low levels of fitness first, and they were very sedentary. Again, while we started out expecting some diversity and, you know, kind of our theme was that we expected that these sites to be heterogeneous, they were quite homogeneous. They were quite similar. And despite the opportunity, moderate to hard or vigorous activity was not even on the radar of children or the leaders. The social context of the activity appears to be an important factor. And others have reported that activity levels of parents, siblings, and peers is a correlate. But, you know, what we saw was something a little different, and it's maybe how we processed it. You know, when I would think about the activity levels of others as a correlate, I would think of it as a facilitator. For me to play catch, I need someone to catch it. For me to play a game of basketball, I need four other people. But what we were really seeing in our qualitative part of the study, it wasn't a mechanism for physical activity, it was a benefit of physical activity. And others have reported that where being active is associated with being fun and enjoyment. We also wonder, too, about, you know, if the social context is so important, if that had a relationship then to how homogeneous our groups were. If my friends are sitting, then I'm more likely to be trading cards with them as well. The social context of the leaders, children do want adults to supervise and help facilitate. Again, we did focus groups, and then I was there doing the, some observations, and it's really outside the presentation today. But others have noted that the leaders really set the social context, they set the schedule, and their skills are really important to what happens in that after-school time. We have significant amount of limitations, again, in this kind of community-based research that we did, but we did try to keep it as naturalistic as possible so that it would continue on. The leaders did all the testing. We did not do random sampling, and the physical activity levels were self-reported, so we interpret them with caution. This is an intervention session, and we do think it that physical after school is a significant opportunity for interventions, a significant opportunity that in many communities hasn't been realized. It certainly in ours, we're working on it. It's an opportunity not just because of time and space, but because the social interaction is an attractive facilitator to kids, and that programs are heterogeneous in the kids that they serve, but through training such as program leader interventions and social type interventions, they can become more homogeneous, but in a positive way. And then we're going to go questions at the end. Thank you.